Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 378, where we have all of our best conversations before we start recording.
That's right.
I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello!
Except for last week when Tony wasn't fucking here.
Wasn't my fault.
True, but he had to wake up real early.
I had to wake up so early.
I don't blame him. Yeah, no.
He probably woke up just as we were finishing.
I really did.
Tony is here. Jeff is here as well.
Movie dudes.
It's wrong podcast, Jeff, but
I'm so mad you guys don't want to talk about Blade Runner with me on Movie Dudes.
I don't think it's that we don't want to talk about it, and Pete is here. Sorry.
I don't think you like what I have to say about it. How about that?
But yeah, like Jeff and I haven't seen the new Blade Runner, and neither of us really like the original Blade Runner. So we are gonna see it. I mean, I think we both will watch it at some point. Like, we watch just about anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you guys went through Friday the 13th, the entire series. So, I mean, obviously the bar is pretty low on what makes it out of the podcast.
We just had a great conversation for over an hour about probably two of the worst movies ever made.
Speaking of the worst movie ever made, are you going to go see Snowman, Jeff?
I want to see that.
I want to see it. I don't think I'll get to see it in the theater.
I can't go see it in the theater, no.
No, I'm not going to go spend $13 to go see that in theaters. Sounds like a movie I find on Netflix 6 years from now, and it has one star, and I'm drunk, and I'm like, this sounds like a great idea.
I mean, I'll even spend like $1.50 on it from Redbox. I'll spend $1.50 on it, whatever. Like, it'll be out by Christmas, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'll be honest about that movie. I was excited about it at first.
Right? It looked pretty cool.
And then, like, and also, like, I could, like, dude, it's the director of Let the Right One In.
Let the Right One In. Martin Scorsese is producing it.
It's based on a book.
Fassbender's in it. I like that type of movie. Like mystery.
But, like, it seemed like earlier this week, I just started to see some of our friends making fun of it on the internet. Like, look at, what the fuck is a Snowman movie?
The poster is phenomenal. It's like a stick figure snowman. And then it's like children scrawling, like, I gave you all the clues. You could have saved them, Mr. Policeman. That's the poster.
And yeah. I guess these are based off of, like, a pretty well-regarded series of books, too.
Yeah,
and
so, like, I thought it looked all right, honestly. Like,
well, and then I look at IGN's review, and IGN's review is like 3 out of 10, and it's just like,
amazing.
Holy shit. And I've seen, what was it, you were retweeting some stuff, Jeff, about, like, these critics who have just said that, like, it's so bad, it's made people reconsider the choices in life that led them to this moment.
Yeah, but, like, that, like, anytime shit like that starts to go down, it makes me want to see it even more. But, like, I'm just like, all right.
Yeah, I need to know how bad it is.
You know, maybe it's not a theater movie, but once it comes out on DVD and shit, I'll definitely check it out. It's just so funny how everyone turned, like I just saw our friends turning on it, and then, like, I looked up Rotten Tomatoes, and it was pretty bad, and I was like, oh, well, I guess it really is, like, they're right. Their predictions are right, my predictions were wrong, so.
Currently, Geostorm has a higher Rotten Tomatoes rating than The Snowman.
And Wolf. That movie has always looked like dog shit.
Also, a movie I kind of want to see, though, because this looks so bad.
Wait, what's there was one that I had heard about on Waypoint called, shit, what was it? God damn it. They were talking about this movie that's literally just about what happens when the ground has disappeared. I know how to find it. Hold on. It seems right up your alley in this conversation of bad movies.
And stupid, yeah.
I thought you were going to say The Book of Henry, which, like, is a movie from earlier this year.
Which I heard was atrociously bad and actually is part of the reason why Kevin Trevorrow is not working on Star Wars anymore.
Yeah.
Really, like, I don't think we have a ton of games this week, but while Pete looks up the movie that I'm probably going to want to see after he mentions it, has anybody played anything new?
Shit, I got 23 games, yo.
Oh, right.
It's called Skybound.
Skybound.
Yes. 5 plane passengers are unable to land after a mysterious disaster happened on the ground. And the tagline is, what if suddenly the ground is gone?
I like
it. Amazing. I need to see that.
Apparently it's out in Japan already, and there's, like, no U.S. release date for some reason.
for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah, Skybound. That's what it was. This movie was made for $6 million. What the fuck?
Awesome.
Yeah. New games? No, I played... I haven't even played Destiny this week. I'll tell you what, though. I won my first game of PUBG Solos on Monday.
That's cool.
So, that was... Congrats. I was shaking for a good 15 minutes afterwards. Just, like, my hands and... Oh, God, the anxiety was... is ridiculous. When you're in that top 10, man, the game...
Whew. Wait, did I correctly predict that Peter had played
PUBG? Yes. Yes. You did.
Yeah. Which is funny because until Monday, I hadn't played it in maybe 2-3 weeks. And I want to play Destiny because I need to do the Flashpoint, but.
You can do that in a day, though.
Well, tomorrow's, what, Xur and shit, so I'll just bang it all out one day so I don't have to log back in again.
All right, so you won PUBG. That's.
Wait, you won?
I won. Solos. So, I was number 1 out of 100.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. It'll never happen again. But
all you need to have done is once. So.
Right. No, I mean, I took it, and apparently leaderboards were down, so it doesn't even track. But I was like, motherfuckers, I took a picture of this because it'll never happen again. Like I could win squads. Because I'm with other people, and squads are not nearly as terrifying. But solos, man, you're just by yourself, and it's the silence that gets to you. Right until the moment that somebody from miles away is shooting at you with a sniper rifle.
That sounds unnerving, dude. Like, I don't know.
Oh, it is. It's terrifying. But that's half the fun. Like, before that, I had played... That was, like, my fourth game of the night, and I... Like, two of them ended with me in, like, 75th place, and so you just, like, you get back in and stuff. That's what's really fun about it.
I think the most terrifying thing in my life, I never played this game, but, like, I could just imagine, like, sitting in a house or something for, like, 15 minutes, all of a sudden I hear someone walking in the house. Like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
Is it like that? Like, all of a sudden you'll hear someone walking around? Like, oh my God.
There's houses, you can hear the doors open, and footsteps are pretty audible, so you'll hear boots, like, on the floor... like above or below you, usually below you. What was it? Two of my kills came from, I had a machine gun that drops in the crates. So they're like, the crates contain special items that are only found in them. And one of them is a like bullet fed machine gun, like the machine guns that you see on top of trucks that just have like the crates of ammo and stuff. I had one of those and some dude, I just sat by the door. And I would hear the guys come in and they would open just be on the other side fucking scarfacing them to death and stuff. But yeah, I mean, the end of the game is intense because sometimes there's no cover and you're out in an open field and it's just four dudes in prone position in a wheat field waiting for somebody to accidentally press a button on their keyboard. And, you know, so that way somebody detects motion and, you know, and stuff like that. That's why the game is so good. They just previewed the new map that's coming out at some point.
The second map?
Yep, the desert map. I mean, yeah, it's sort of like the Dota thing going on right now, where it's just like it's one map that have all like these different intricacies and stuff. And,
but the way that game plays, though, because the circle is never the same each time, right? So, yeah. Like, that does change up the way, I guess, that the game plays.
Right, and they have edited things like, well, like last month, they added a new town to the upper northeast corner of the map that was pretty barren and didn't have like. I think they put it there because it's one of the areas that nobody ever went because there was only one other town there, and it didn't make any sense to like go all the way up there because the circle rarely goes up there, and if like there's barely any loot, so they added that to like drive more foot traffic up there and sort of evenly spread things out.
Cool. Well, congrats on that.
Thank you. It'll never happen again, but it was worth it.
You're going to come back next week. I won again.
That'd be amazing. I don't know, man. I was ready to vomit after the end of that game. Like, just like how nerved. I like Jeff was saying, just like the adrenaline rush you get from it is.
Oh, my God.
I'm excited for when this game comes out for Xbox.
Yeah.
I want in.
Yeah. That'll be. I've never tried playing it with a controller. That would be interesting.
Well, it's probably to your disadvantage at the moment to play it with a controller.
Oh, right now, absolutely. Yeah.
Everybody's playing.
But I just wonder what that's like. Because I I mean, I guess there weren't really that many buttons. It's not like a MOBA or something. It would map pretty well, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be exciting once you guys get him, because Fozzie's the only other one who's played it, and he's never around, so...
That's true. Although, I mean, I guess he hasn't been streaming it recently with
Tommy.
Yeah, but yeah. They were for a little while. All right. So you've been playing PUBG, Tony. You've been playing anything?
I've been playing a lot of Total War Warhammer 2, which is awesome. The more of it I play, so. I think I talked a little about the last time I was on the show. I talked about the campaign.
Yeah.
Where there's this vortex and you're doing this series of five rituals. So I just finished the third ritual and it had some of the most massive battles I've ever had in a Total War game.
Mm-hmm.
Basically the game starts like summoning these while you're performing the ritual. Assumption of the game is that it causes the vortex at the center of the
Tony.
Hello.
Can you guys not hear me?
No, you just okay. I thought maybe I disconnected for a second.
So you perform these rituals and it causes the vortex to distort.
Okay.
Which allows the armies of chaos into the world. So basically, it's an excuse for the game to throw like massive. Full strength AI armies with like all the top units in them at you.
Okay.
Which is something that when you're playing through a Total War campaign, like the AI is adequate, but it's never been like great about building really strong armies like with the top level units. So you're fighting really difficult battles that you have to win. Otherwise you have failed the ritual. So it's kind of and they throw multiple armies at you at the same time. So I ended up in a case where I fought off this really strong army and then was immediately attacked by another one, which got an ambush, and I ended up losing the second battle. And it was really cool to like to face these huge armies in waves. And of course, since it's the Warhammer universe, the top level units are all like really cool. So my armies are also really well built up too. So it's like dragons fighting giants and trolls, and like it looks awesome.
Yeah, buddy.
It's like a swirling melee of all these really, really cool units. Like top level wizards casting these spells at like blanket, and like if there's any unit that's not at their top level, they're like getting massacred by these like One of my wizards can cast a spell which causes people to like start grabbing at them from underneath the ground. So like the unit is walking along and it's like being attacked by the underworld, and just, it looks awesome. The battle's just awesome spectacle.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Yeah, so in terms of the cool factor, it's probably the coolest Total War game I have played.
Okay.
Like it's just... like talking about the stuff that happens, it's so fun.
That's sounds like it's a winner for strategy games.
Yeah. So. And the fact it's throwing like top level units at you, like you're facing off like dragons and giants and like, I don't know. It's cool. It's just really cool.
Quick update. Oakland just tied the game. No time left on the clock. They will kick an extra point for the win.
Or will they?
I don't know. Like I've seen a lot of kickers miss extra points this year. So
yes.
For the win,
it's good. Jeff, you got a story to tell us?
Oh, about how I got the SNES?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as y'all know, they sold out the first night, and they have been hard to get, or like they haven't been restocking. I was bitching about this on the show before, correct?
Probably.
Yeah. You complained about it the last week, actually, I think.
Yeah, so like they're not doing like daily or even a couple times a week. It just seems to be like once a month right now. And I got the word from a good friend named Chris. sent me a text saying, hey, Targets might have these things in stock. Which I don't know where you heard that from.
A friend of mine actually texted me, asked if I had one. And I said, yeah, I'd already got one. And he said, and I asked him if he had one. He said, yeah, he just picked one up from Target. They had six left. He was going to, like, if I wanted one, he would pick it up. I'm like,
yeah, so
that's. All right. So that's why I was like, all right, our Target has one. Obviously, Target's got them.
Yeah, they got stock. Them, yeah.
Hey, maybe your Target has them, Jeff, and from there.
Yeah, so I get this text. And the funny thing about it is I've been checking specifically Target pretty frequently because they have been known to be getting the most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sent me this text, it was like the first time in 3 days I had not gone straight to Target after work at like 3:30. And when
you're like, I'm not going back to Target, you bastard.
Yeah, so instead of, you know, at 3:30 going to Target, I went home. And about 5:30, Chris texts me about this. And I'm like, all right, dude, I'll check this out. So I call him, and the guy's like, yeah, we do actually have two of them left in stock. And I was like, that's amazing. I'm like, can you please hold it for like 10 minutes? I'm on my way. And he's like, I'm sorry, I can't. He's like, you know, whoever comes up here first gets it. I was just like, all right, well, I'll see you in 10 minutes. I got there 11 minutes later. I'm like running up the counter and I'm like, I'm the guy that just called. Like, you know, please tell me it's all good. And he's like, he smiles. He's like, I'm really sorry, man. They're gone. And I'm like, yeah, really? He's like, yes. And I'm like, he was not joking. He was really sold out. Like in 11 minutes, he had sold the last two. The part that makes me really sad about that is if I had gone straight from work, I would have got it, obviously. Anyways, so like I'm in like full panic mode now. I start going to like every store in town, like Best Buy, GameStop, Walmart. I call my girlfriend and she's like on her way home from work. And I'm like, is there a Target by you? And she says, yeah, there's one on the way. I'm like, can you please check it just to see? And she got one of the last two there. So I have a SNES Classic.
Nice.
Then yeah. You then rewarded Melissa by making her watch Jason Goes to Hell.
She fell asleep.
That makes sense. That tracks.
So you now have a SNES Classic.
Yes.
What do you think?
I really, really love it. I mean, it's cool. Like it's so neat how tiny it is, and it like has, you know, the right form and everything. Like, and the buttons are functional except for the eject button. Yeah. I don't like the door that you were telling me about.
Yeah,
it feels flimsy. It feels cheap.
Yeah, looks like it's on like a really, you know, thin plastic hinge. It's not even a hinge. It's like a plastic.
It hangs. It hangs with a plastic ribbon. You're right. Yeah, I don't like that. It feels really cheap. It should have been like a garage door at the very least. Like,
yeah.
Anyways, the controllers I think they feel right. Like at first I'm like, are these smaller than the regular controllers? But it's like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I was a kid.
I think they're a little bit smaller.
But otherwise, they look and feel right, you know. The games on there, like, yes, it's less games than the NES Classic, but I think that Super Nintendo games hold up really well for the most part. I bounced around with a bunch of them, like, the first night. I, of course, played through the first level of Star Fox to unlock Star Fox 2. I have not played Star Fox 2 yet, though, at all. Have you tried it, Chris?
No. I did unlock Star Fox 2, but I did not jump into it.
How do you unlock it?
Yeah, you have to beat the first level of Star Fox.
Oh.
Which is doable.
In like 2 minutes. Yeah, it's no big deal. But like, I don't know, it's like that forbidden fruit. I haven't touched it yet. I sampled a bunch of stuff, like, but I've really honed in on like two games right now that I've not played. And one is Yoshi's Island, and the other is Final Fantasy VI. I've never played either of those games, so I'm giving them a shot right now.
Nice.
Put some decent time into both of them. Have you guys all played both of those games? I don't know.
I've played some of Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah, I've played some of that one, which is, I believe, Final Fantasy III on the box. Yes.
Yeah, it's called Final Fantasy III, yeah. but it's six.
It's six, yeah. I've not played Super Mario World 2, right? Yoshi's Island. Yeah,
You've never played it?
I've not played that one yet.
Yeah, I thought like for some reason I'd be the only one. Like, yeah, I'd never played it. I played parts of it. I think I'm deeper than I've ever gotten to it, though. I'm like near the end of the third world. That's a really cool game. And Final Fantasy VI, like, despite the fact that there's a lot of things I hate about it, like, I'm really kind of drawn into it. Just the music and the art, like the 16-bit graphics, I think are really good. I'm almost kind of drawn into the story.
Takes a little while to get going.
But it's just like the basic setup feels like it's like Star Wars or something. Like, oh, there's an evil empire and there's these rebels that are going against them. It's like, all right, I can dig that, you know?
It's right. Also the story of several Final Fantasy games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 7 is roughly the same way as well in the beginning.
But it's super aimless. Like, not aimless, but it's just like you have to know where the hell you're going. There's nothing pointing you where to go. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played a Final Fantasy game before this, Jeff?
I played Final Fantasy 15, and I played a little bit of Final Fantasy 3.
And 15 is way different in the way it does things. So.
I mean, even even the PS1 games, like it wasn't really until Final Fantasy 12 where they started giving you a mini-map with exact, like, pinpoint on where to go. Like, I don't even think 10 had a little bit of that, I guess.
You didn't really need a mini-map in 10 because of the way that game worked was, like, it was small segments. You rarely were out in an open world.
It's just, like, the map in the overworld here, even, like, if you could read a map, it's not super useful. Like, you could kind of, you have to go, okay, there's maybe a forest here, or there's maybe a lake here, but it's just, like, it's not easy to read the map at all anyways. Like, it's,
right.
But I don't know. I recognize a certain amount of quality to it. Like I think almost 6 hours deep into it. So like,
that's impressive.
I am still playing it. I thought I was like a pretty good ways through, but I looked up online that it's like supposedly like a 40-hour game.
Yeah, starting with like 4, which was 2 on the Super Nintendo. Those games are like 40 hours plus. Until 15, which was like, what, you could beat that in 25 hours?
I think I platinumed it in 25 hours.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of doubt that between now and Mario Odyssey, I'm going to be able to finish that game. So who knows? The thing that sucks is I had to set it up in my bedroom because I'm just like out of room in my living room. It's like I have 4 consoles hooked up already in my living room. I have nowhere else to put like the plug or anything, you know? So I'm like, all right, I'll put it in the bedroom. And putting it in the bedroom just means I'm not going to play it as much. As much as I love the goddamn thing, like, if it was out here, I'd be playing it all the time.
What do you have hooked up? Oh, you have your GameCube hooked up to your TV app.
Yeah, so I have the Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and my GameCube hooked up out in the living room.
How often do you use your Switch on screen?
A lot. I play my Switch almost more than any console in the last couple months.
But on the TV?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
I was gonna say you could just like move that one over because you could play it anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. But even like I'm out of outlets to plug the plug into, and it's one of those big brick like plugs that like basically is gonna cover 2 spots for you. So it's like, yeah. I was just like, you know what, fuck it, I'll just put it in the bedroom. It almost won't feel more correct that way.
The good thing about the Super Nintendo plug, though, is while it is a big brick, it's USB. So you might, if you have a USB port on your TV, you might be able to plug it in that way.
Might have to think about that.
I don't know. I haven't tried it, but I would assume you should be able to power it from your TV. Huh. Anyway, it's a thought, but yeah.
That is a thought.
The lack of HDMI ports is becoming a concern for me. So,
and unfortunately, my TV has three. I would have really liked to have four, but
yeah. Anyways. So
mine also has three, and I wish I had four. It's just not enough.
I started looking at 4K TVs today. I wasn't planning on getting one before the end of the year, but there's a couple good deals out there. And
yeah, there are, and you know, you need that Xbox One X. Just
yeah, well,
you need it.
Jesus,
I definitely need it. but I've been looking, and there's a couple like mid-range 4K TVs that I wouldn't have thought are good. The guy I wouldn't have thought like Vizio is a.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're okay.
They've gotten better. They used to be like the McDonald's of TVs, but now
exactly. Yeah. Like and when
they're fine. Yeah.
When they came out, I was like, eh, I don't know. Like they weren't getting great reviews, but I read a couple reviews today, and there's a Vizio and a TCL, which I had never heard of as a brand before today. They have some of the best mid-range gaming TVs, like in the $500-$600 TV range. I was like, all right, maybe I can get one of them. And so now it's down to how many HDMI ports. Like, do I get the TCL, which is $100 cheaper, but only has three HDMI ports? Or do I get the Vizio, which has basically the same specs, but it's $100 more, but has an extra HDMI port?
That's tough. That's real tough. Right?
Yeah. Like, it's $100, but also the HDMI port.
It's just a matter of convenience, but like that's huge, dude. Yeah. Like being able to hook up four things feels about right, you know.
And I have four HDMI ports on my Sharp right now. So like I'd have to not have something hooked up to the new TV. So, but those are thoughts for another day.
Oh, one last thing I wanted to mention about the SNES.
Yeah,
highly recommend. You can buy like these 10-foot fucking extension cables.
Yeah.
On Amazon for like $10.
Yeah,
it's a must. It's an absolute must.
Well, especially since like so where I have it plugged in, I'm not that far away, but having the extra
even still
cable is nice.
They have longer cords on this one, right? I have it hooked up in my bedroom, and I was sitting on the edge of my bed.
Yeah, you'd have to.
Even then, I felt like I couldn't sit comfortably and not worry about pulling the system. like it's too short. I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. Like, there's no way you could play like that. Even back in the day, the cords were not that short.
No, they were either 6 or 8 feet, I think.
And these are what, four?
These are five. The
Super. I don't buy it. Five. I do not buy it. That's 5 feet. But anyways, I got 10-foot extension cables, so now I'm like laying back in bed all the way across the room playing that shit. It's awesome.
With the cord all the way across your room. It's great.
Yeah. It's fucking great. Yep.
That's cool. I have just played Destiny this week. It was Iron Banner for most of last week, so I played a bunch of that.
Damn it, I need to play more of that game.
Yeah, so that we can
play together.
Get some people together. And
I did Crucible all last week after the podcast, and I hated myself so much for it.
I'm pretty good at it.
I'm not bad at it either. It's just not fun. Like, the fact that in order to do the milestone, it's like six matches. It's like six more matches than I would ever want to do. An Iron Banner, you don't get any Ingrams from. You just get, like, reputation bubbles.
Yeah, yeah.
Which don't give me powerful Ingrams, so...
No, I was just getting the Iron Banner armor, which I ended up not liking.
Yeah.
I got the emblem or whatever for completing season one. So, I just did it for that, not just to like kind of participate in, because I never participated in Iron Banner before. I don't know. I had fun with it. I did pretty good. That game, when you are on a good team that knows what they're doing, it is really fun. When you are on a bad team, it is brutally, like, it is anger-inducing, especially if you are doing well yourself, but the rest of your team is idiots.
Yeah.
kind of like Halo in that regard, where it's like, I am doing everything and you are not. What are you doing? And then at the end of the game, like, they have the efficiency ratings, and I'm pulling like a 3, and everybody else is under half. It's like, what the hell? But that's all I did last week, so I don't have anything really to talk about game wise.
Sorry, we got some big topics to cover.
Yeah. They closed Visceral Studios this week. They shut Visceral Studios down. Visceral is the Dead Space house. They created the Dead Space games, and they were working on a new single player Star Wars game.
It was Amy Hennig's Star Wars game.
Yeah. Headed by, was she the creative director on it, or was she just overall in charge of?
It says here that she joined to direct the Star Wars game after she left Naughty Dog in early 2014.
Yeah, so it was her game. They shut that. They shut the studio down. They put the game on indefinite hiatus while they rework how they're going to approach it. They want to make a more broad experience than, I guess, what Visceral was doing.
Where's the statement? There's a couple of quotes here that are specifically important, I think, for us to talk about. Oh, here it is. And when you say indefinite hold, it's more like it's
forever.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, this game as we knew it to be,
it's
no longer exists.
Yes. Yeah. They are going to retool whatever whatever this game was, they are going to probably take assets from it and other stuff. Maybe like some of the story. Probably, yeah. Like, you've already spent a lot of time creating art. You're not going to go and start from scratch. But yes, do you have the quote up?
The big one that everyone's highlighting. It's just saying, in its current form, it was shaping up to be a story-based linear adventure game. Throughout the development process, we have been testing the game concept with players, listening to the feedback about what and how they want to play, and closely tracking fundamental shifts in the marketplace. It has become clear that to deliver an experience that players will want to come back to and enjoy for a long time to come, we needed to pivot the design. And that there is... Hold
on. There another quote.
Yes, because then there's a quote about where they were going. Yeah, okay. Here it is. Importantly, we are shifting to the game to a broader experience that allows for more variety and player agency, leaning into the capabilities of our Frostbite engine and reimagining central elements of the game to give players a Star Wars adventure of greater depth and blah, 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 blah. That was the main piece, and the rest of it is just like...
Fluff.
Well, not fluff, but the rest of it is like, hey... Visceral's closing down. EA Worldwide Studios is taking over with Vancouver leading. And the game will probably come out as part of the next generation of consoles at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've already spent 4 years working on this game. I don't see it coming out in the next 2 years.
Yeah, something like, aside from this, and I would love to know more about what happened to the original Uncharted 4. But, like, something is, like, Amy Hennig is not... She's owned, too, at the moment. You know, like, with her last two projects and stuff, like, you know, she got shuttered out of Naughty Dog, and Druckmann took over Uncharted 4, and now then she went to go do this. And, you know, Uncharted came out, what, last year?
Yes.
Right. You know, and then this is now she came on to lead this game, and now this game is being shunted. Like, you know, you have to wonder if after 4 years of development, EA was like, the fuck are you guys doing over here?
Well, that's generally my thought on this, right, is that they've been working on this for 4 years.
Right. Why is there no game yet?
Yeah, like, that's a long time, like, for EA to be investing.
So what, just going to cut your losses now and can the game?
Like, I mean,
how far along were they? They had to have something, man.
That's, well, no, and that's, I think, that's the thing, though, is that, like, so we did see last year at E3, they showed, like, 4 seconds of a dude walking around Mos Eisley with stormtroopers and stuff, right?
Right.
And that
Which
was,
like, that's like that year was, one like, shit.
They said that, right. that was still, like, pre-alpha footage, like, I just wonder if at some point that this game was like
was their budget just getting so far out of control that it was like, you guys still have another 3 years worth of development on this.
Right. I mean, they said lastly, while we had originally expected this game to launch in late fiscal 2019. Like, what single player linear adventure game takes
6 years?
6 years. I mean, right. You know, even if you look at games like Final Fantasy 15, and so at least that's still like an open world RPG. Like, there's a bit more to that.
I was thinking of Breath of the Wild, but yeah, that's a total open world game. You
know? Right. And this was painted to us as an Uncharted style Star Wars game.
Right.
So, which.
And, like, they specifically called that out.
An Uncharted, pre-Uncharted 4, so not even like the semi-open world that was in some of that. We're talking like very linear
levels. Uncharted 3 stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, to me, I like.
Love that. Yes. Yeah.
Right, so this has opened a larger can of worms of like the quote-unquote death of the single-player game. And last week there was a post by developer Robert Yang, who makes like indie games that focus primarily on like homosexuality and things like that. But he's also incredible. He's like an incredible genius in terms of like his views on the industry and stuff like that. And he noted that like all of like Bethesda's last three games that they've made have sold terribly. Like Prey 2, Dishonored 2, and even like the DLC that came out, Death of the Outsider, which was like a half Dishonored game.
Right.
And so they all like vastly underperformed. And he noted that, you know, Deus Ex, Mankind Divided underperformed. And they sold out, you know, they sold off the Hitman team and stuff. And even what did they say that Tomb Raider had to do? Right? That like the first Tomb Raider game sold 4 million and it was still 2 million short of their goal and stuff like that. And
does lend to like, you know, our are the budgets for these things maybe out of control to the point where you're investing X amount of dollars, so you want X amount back, but you know, have we gotten maybe a little crazy with needing a 20, 25 hour experience out of every game? Whereas maybe, like, I think you kind of mentioned it on Twitter, like you could tune it into maybe a 6, 8, 10 hour experience,
right?
Where we're not, you know, where you're not spending as much money, you're not spending, you know, that for that extra 12 hours, extra 15 hours.
Right. And like, I think what you saw was my conversation with Javi. And one of the examples that he brought up was that he played Evil Within 2 recently, and it was like 22 hours on like the hardest difficulty. So you figure maybe 15, 18 on regular or something like that. And in comparison, Resident Evil 7 came out and it was like 7 to 8, and he vastly preferred his time with Resident Evil than he did with Evil Within. And like,
yeah, well, really? I mean, you can even
we fucking lost Tony.
Did we?
Yeah, he just dropped.
Well, hopefully he gets back. But you know, even looking at just Resident Evil the series, Resident Evil 6 was a fucking 30-hour game.
Right, it was exhausting,
and it was terrible because of it. But like Resident Evil 5, Resident Evil 4. They're like, you know, 8 to 10 hour games. Like,
shit, Resident Evil 1 is like 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, no, and, you know, people were, you know, my original thought, to give credit where credit is due, came from Brad Shoemaker during the Bombcast. He was the one who brought up games like Hellblade and the Uncharted game Lost Legacy, right? That were like $40 and or $30 and $40 respectively, and were like 6 to 8 hours.
And I stuff. Actually, like, I think we. We talked about this back in August or maybe early September when I was talking about Lost Legacy for Uncharted. Like, I vastly enjoyed that compared to Uncharted 4. Even though Uncharted 4 is a great game, like, being able to condense everything, like, I enjoyed Lost Legacy more. Like,
right. I mean, and I love Uncharted 4, and I thought Uncharted 4 was great, but it's still, like, 6 chapters too long.
Yeah.
And stuff. Like, the end of that game... Like, that game ends, and then there are somehow still 3 more chapters before the ending that you expect to come arise. Mm-hmm. It's like, Jesus Christ, what is...
It takes a while to get going, too. You know? Yes. Hours to get going.
And, yeah, I do think there's something to be said for like the lack of scale or the lack of perception in terms of scale. Like,
I don't think that addresses everything though.
I think it addresses specific, like, from developer standpoints, why, like, you make a game, like, you know, length in many ways is determined to time and money spent on the game, right? Like, a 20-hour game is obviously going to be more expensive and take longer to make than a 6-hour game.
I don't know, right, if that always translates 100%, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
No, but I mean, yeah. And as people who don't work in the industry, right, I can only...
Yeah, we're talking out our ass, but in general,
I can only surmise, like, you know, right, basic mathematics, right?
You have to create more art for that, unless you're reusing the same assets. Like, you have to create more art, you have to create more story, you have to create more dialogue, you have to create more gameplay and
right, more motion capture and
yeah,
and
so stuff like that. Yeah. Like there's a lot more that goes into it. Maybe it's not, you know, comparative. Like, maybe that extra 10 hours doesn't take double the amount of time that the first 10 hours took, but there's still a lot that goes into adding, you know.
Yeah, more is going to be more.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, exactly. And so, like, I think there's something to be said in terms of those games where, like,
I don't think those 60-hour, 100-hour, 300-hour games are going to disappear, though. I mean, there's always going to be one or two of those games, like Skyrim, or
yes,
fucking Red Dead or whatever, that there's still a billion copies.
And in terms it's of not
true,
in
like,
terms
it's
of
not Red over,
Dead, right? But here's the point with it: no one. Okay, it's obviously a bit of hyperbole to say that the genre is going entirely away. Obviously, there are going to be companies that continue to do that. Like Horizon has sold pretty well, actually. And you know what? A lot of people have pointed to is that first parties will now be the ones to carry that torch. You know, there's still Last of Us 2 coming. There's still Spider-Man coming. There's obviously going to be another Horizon game. You know, I can't speak to whatever Microsoft's doing. There's going to be a Halo 6 and presumably a Gears 5.
Dude, if single player were to go away, I wouldn't really be a gamer at that point.
Right.
I would play games with people when they come over. That's it.
Like, right. Well, and I mean, obviously Nintendo, right, is going to continue doing their things. They're going to make their Mario games and stuff. Now, but they're what people are talking about is like, it's not just single player experiences. It is very specifically a very specific type, which is two very specific types. The linear, like Uncharted, like you start at the beginning of a level and you reach end B, and there is more or less a straight line from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And or the immersive sim, where the game has just so much minutia, like there are emails that you can check and computer systems and, you know, like just like nonsense upon nonsense upon nonsense that, like, you know, deep environmental design that most people unfortunately don't give a shit about.
Don't even look at, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I think some of that stuff is cool. Like, I didn't care for Dishonored 2, but I liked the Deus Ex games and stuff and stuff like that, but I understand why those games don't necessarily work out as much. But, you know, in terms of what you're saying, Jeff, you know, there's been this infograph going around of like the highest Metacritic single player games. And everyone's like, oh yeah, he's talking out of their ass. And everyone's like, oh, the single player genre is not going. It's like, okay. You know, you look at games like Persona or Breath of the Wild or Nier or Horizon. And you know, two of those games are
AAA.
People are saying that AAA single player games are going to go away. And my point is that Persona's an RPG that's like 90 hours long, but it's a role-playing game. Breath of the Wild is an open-world game. Horizon's an open-world game.
Yep.
Nier is a, like, action, quote-unquote, open-world game that has, like, 5 endings and stuff. Like, those games appeal to different audiences. Nobody is looking for the, you know, look at Mirror's Edge as an example, right? Mirror's Edge was very much a like linear single player game in the similar vein of Uncharted.
Yeah, but that so is Uncharted. Like, there's a like if you do it well enough, there's a market for it. Like,
right, and
I don't care what it is.
Right, but that doesn't always translate into sales. Like, they're like, you know, Dishonored 2 and Prey 2 and Mankind Divided, they all
scored fairly well.
Yeah.
They're not Uncharted. I'm just saying, like, if you do an Uncharted level game, people are going to come. People are going to show up and buy it.
They come to an Uncharted game because it has Naughty Dog on it and it says Uncharted on it.
Yeah, and marketing and all that. But it is a quality. It denotes a certain level of quality when you hear it's a Naughty Dog game or it's a new Uncharted.
Right.
People know a certain level of quality they're going
to get. Exactly. Just like what you were saying before with Skyrim. Like, yes, the Elder Scrolls brand has been going on for the past 20 years. People know what that is. Just like with Grand Theft Auto, but Rockstar even now, they don't just sell a single-player only game. They sell open-world single-player games that also have a massively lucrative online component.
That you could completely ignore.
Like yes. Me. Sure, right. You can completely ignore it, but you know what?
And you millions still get of other people.
Which is fine, and I think we also have to look at, like, for as linear as Uncharted is, there is a very robust multiplayer. I've never touched Uncharted 4's multiplayer, but there is, and there's a lot of people that play that.
And then even that has microtransactions now, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, like, I just don't think that, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's been two generations since the price of games has gone up. Like, they've stayed $60 for base level games, and, you know, the price has gone up, the development cost has gone up, but the price to buy in has not. And
they're spending more because it costs more to make them because they're more technologically advanced, and it's, you know, they're not making as much off of e-sale because price is staying the same, and you're playing in a market that is saturated with releases on a weekly basis.
Right.
I just don't believe this notion, though, that the model that they have right, like, that they're going towards right now, like service base and loot boxes and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't buy into that, dude. Like, I just...
You don't buy into it in what regards?
For one, I personally don't like it. Like, sure. I prefer when I pay $60 for a game, I get a whatever that is, and that's it.
Okay, but I don't think that's been the case for the past 10 years.
Yeah, but there's always been extra stuff you could buy, but it seems like now that's their business model is it's more based on that than anything else. And
right, I mean, when you look at Activision Blizzard coming out and saying they've made almost $4 billion on in-game
microtransactions,
like, I don't blame other companies for following suit. Like, that's...
Well,
their job is to make money for their investors, and
I think a lot of people look at, like, EA and Ubisoft, and they forget that these are also big public companies, right? Like, and they're, while we would like them to be not creatively bankrupt, their shareholders don't give a shit.
But not just that, but like
they could be wrong, dude. And that's what I'm saying.
But that's the thing is that I don't think they are, and they're following market trends that have been going on for the past
for
3 or 4 years at least. You know, like with Overwatch, with even if you want to go as far back as games as like League of Legends and stuff like that. And I have no doubt that there will be a saturation point, and then people will have to dial it back. Like, obviously, you look at games like Shadow of War and NBA 2K18 as games that have done it very poorly, or even MGS5, which did it horribly wrong. But the Japan, like, Konami just doesn't give a shit because they don't want to make video games anymore. But you know, you look at games like Rainbow Six Siege, Tom Clancy's Wildlands, or Ghost Recon Wildlands, or The Division, which, you know. You know, I guess hasn't been nearly as successful as perhaps the other two games.
The Division, hugely successful.
Yeah.
Way more than Wildlands.
Maybe I've mixed the two. And, you know, by comparison, games like Watch Dogs 2, like, didn't hit their mark. Like, people liked Watch Dogs 2 well enough. It was way better than the first game, but it didn't make its money back. Like, sure, the model may not be ultimately sustainable, but you know what? Like, they got to chase that money when the money is billions of dollars.
And my issue, and I haven't played Shadow of War, and I probably won't play Shadow of War. But what I've heard about Shadow of War is that when you get towards the end game, it almost becomes reliant on you, like pushing you towards spending money.
Right, and that's a shitty way of doing it.
Like, I don't want that type of gaming experience. I don't mind if there is a way for people to pay to win. In a single player game, you want to, you know, you don't have the time to spend 40 hours or whatever to build your forts, or, you know, you just want to have the best shit. As long as it's not a competitive piece, I don't give a shit what you do, but don't penalize me, the player who gave you the $60 for that, right? Like, allow me to play the game, you know, and still advance, still progress.
Yeah.
Without it feeling shitty.
Yeah, I just...
I mean, even Nintendo does this. Like, they don't do it in their games, but they do it outside. That's what Amiibos are. And stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Like, Metroid, like, you needed to have... Like, if you wanted to get everything out of the new Metroid game, like, you needed to buy their Metroid Amiibo.
Well, and not even, I mean, Splatoon, right? And even Breath of the Wild, right?
Like, you want the daily loot boxes out of Breath of the Wild, you need Zelda Amiibo, like...
Yeah, I mean, there are very few games that, like, just don't already come with some additional way that you could possibly spend money on them. You know, mm-hmm. Even Mario, I'm sure, will have some tie into Mario Amiibos and stuff like that.
I don't know. There's ways to generate additional revenue that I think don't feel dirty. Like an honest to goodness DLC, like content, like a new expansion or something to a game. That's fine. Like, I get it. But when it's just at some point, the canvas you're painting on starts to define what you're getting, like the painting you're getting. Like, if it's all like, it's basically turning games into like a slot machine, dude. Like, I don't like this, all this loot box fucking bullshit. It's like, it's just changing the way games feel. Like, I don't like that shit.
Yeah,
it's
a shift. I mean, just like there was during the PS3, Xbox 360 era, where every game had to have a multiplayer component and stuff.
And we are in a phase now where every game has to have some sort of, you know, loot box system,
right?
It's just a matter of how they implement it. Like,
right? Like, nobody bitches about Overwatch's system because it's just cosmetics and whatever and stuff like that.
Right? And here's the thing. EA has been doing the concept of loot boxes for years in both Madden, FIFA, and NHL.
I think they did them in Mass Effect as well, right?
Tony. Is that accurate?
And did Mass Effect 3 have multiplayer loot boxes? Tony's in the call, but I don't actually know if he knows he's in this call.
Yeah. I don't know if he can hear us. You sound like you're very far away, like you're screaming at us from across the room.
I thought he was like in another room talking to his wife.
No, my other laptop decided to hit the internet, and so I had to.
Fair enough. I hate the internet some days too.
Yeah. a little bit better. Yeah. Did Mass Effect have loot boxes of some sort?
Three totally did.
Okay.
Three did. Okay. I imagine Andromeda did by extension of that.
I didn't play the multiplayer in Andromeda, but
I did. I don't remember.
But like,
I didn't buy anything.
To your point, Chris, like EA doesn't. They're like one of the only publishers without any of these games as service titles. Right?
This is true up until, I guess, Anthem?
Right, and that's the thing, is that like everyone's saying that their blog post about Star Wars sounds like they're moving it to a Destiny-like game and stuff, like more open world, more player-driven, like shared universe-type things and stuff. And you know, everyone's like, why would they do both Anthem and Star Wars? It's like, well, look, BioWare has its own name recognition, and then Star Wars has...
If Anthem is expected as next year as they've been kind of pointing to, right?
Right.
If that comes out next year, whatever this Star Wars game is not going to
2024. It's going to be after hockey is outlawed.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, hockey will be no more. There won't be an NHL game. They'll need something to fill that void from NHL 2024. So we'll have to have a Star Wars game. No, but Star Wars, I'm thinking, like, if they got this going with EA Worldwide, is that where it ended up?
EA Worldwide Studios led by a team from EA Vancouver.
Yeah, so 2020 at the earliest?
Yeah, that would make sense. If depending on how much they're able to cannibalize from this future project, then that would make sense. Go ahead.
I do wonder, like, at some point we are going to hit, like, critical mass with these, right? It's like, Destiny is designed for you to keep coming back. The Division, designed for you to keep coming back. Anthem's going to be designed for you to keep coming back. Like, if you have too many of these games, like, you can't devote, like, you know, 100 hours to each of them. Like, it's they're going to cannibalize each other like MMOs did.
Sure.
Like, where you're going to, like, you have Destiny up here, right? And then
everything else.
Right, everything else, because they're the ones underneath it. And, you know, people come, they'll jump in on, you know, Anthem, they'll jump in on The Division, they'll jump in on Star Wars, but, like, Destiny is your WoW, and, like, the other ones will cannibalize. And Star Wars may be able to do kind of what the Old Republic is doing, if that's even the type of game that they're going to build. Like, maybe it is, maybe they're going to make, like, a Horizon-type game, which is still single-player. Like, it's just a giant open world type game. Like,
right. I mean, they were talking about Frostbite Engine, and the giant Bombcast mentioned that the Frostbite's expertise is multiplayer stuff. Like, you know, putting 60 people in a single area with hyper detailed environments and letting them shoot each other.
It is, but also, like, you know, they did Andromeda on Frostbite.
Look how that turned out.
Sure. But, like, you can do those types of games, and maybe they're getting better at it, and they're going to have at least 3 or 4 years before this thing comes out. So
yeah. I mean, I get it, right? Like, there are all these people who are yelling at EA, like, why are they doing this? Why the blah 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 blah? But I mean, like, there wouldn't be any money in it if there was no money in it, right? Like, if people weren't buying this stuff, then there'd be no need to put it in there, you know.
Well, like, obviously there's a market.
Right. Like, I feel like at some point blaming the companies for what we, the consumers, have done to ourselves is pointless. Like, yes, the way they're implementing it, we can blame them for it, but, like, ultimately, like, we paid for this shit.
I do lament the loss of yet another Uncharted Star Wars type game.
Right, yeah, 1313 and...
Like, that's, like, sounds like the one I want to play, dude. Like,
right. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I will play either of them, but I've
heard Battlefront 2's campaign's actually real good. Embargoes went up today, and
which is all I really want to play. So
yeah,
I want to ask. So you guys are getting that?
I will not get it immediately, but it's on my list. Yeah,
Chris,
I am getting Battlefront 2.
My one friend is
Tony. You're yelling at us from inside of a tunnel.
Tony is getting Battlefront 2.
Okay. He is. Yeah, my one friend is getting it. It's like the only game he plays, like, or not the only game he plays, but he buys, like, Madden and, like, like, he likes the first Battlefront, so he's getting this one. He's, like, trying to talk me into it. I'm like, I don't know. I don't play online shooters that much.
I like the fact that there is, you know, a full campaign, like, much, which is weird. I went into Titanfall 2 last year? Was that last year? Yeah. I went into Titanfall 2, like, expecting to play a ton of that multiplayer, because Tony and I played a ton of Titanfall 1 multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I played an okay amount of it, but what really drew me into that game, and I think the same with you, Jeff, was that campaign was awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun. It was actually, like, one of the better shooter campaigns in the last, probably, couple of years.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that, like, you know, that the campaign for Battlefront 2 is pretty good, so.
Yeah, I'm hoping the campaign for Wolfenstein 2 is pretty good.
Yeah, and see, like, you know, Bethesda, I don't remember what I was listening to, but, like, out of all the big publishers, they had said that Bethesda was the only one still at least trying. right? Like Doom, right, was obviously really successful.
Yeah, and Wolfenstein
was successful and stuff. But at the same time, Bethesda also published Dishonored and Prey, and those games dropped. Those games fell short. So like,
yeah.
But also, you look at Doom, and Doom is like what, 8 hours?
Yep.
If you take your time, and Wolfenstein's maybe.
Yes.
All right.
Nice. And Wolfenstein's like 10, maybe 12.
Yeah, 10.
It was 12. A little bit longer. Yeah. Those are not 40-hour games.
I think that, like, when I play Wolfenstein for, like, 12 hours at $60, I feel like I got my money's worth. But
right.
I think these people have weird expectations about it. Like, there's different type of games, dude. Not every game has to be the same, but it doesn't mean it's not worth $60 or whatever. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Resident Evil 7 was 6 hours. I paid $50 for that game, and I thought it was totally worth the amount of money I paid for it. Like,
and you'll probably play it again at some point, you know? Like, yeah.
It's fun, you know, it's funny, people always compare money to time in games, but they never really do it to anything else, like movies. You know, you think about going to the movies, the price of entry alone is, you know...
It's way more expensive than games, if you think about it.
I mean...
If you do the math.
This is something that, Jeff, you and I have talked about a bit. Yeah. I am actually happier when a film has a shorter runtime now. There was a point in time when I was like, oh, fucking 3-hour movie. Yes, I'm getting my money's worth. But now it's like, I want them to tell me the story in as concise a period as possible. And because there's so much fluff in like longer movies.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Blade Runner, right? And Blade Runner is basically 3 hours. But still, I paid $13 for that ticket. And
for three hours. You know, a video game you pay $60 for at the minimum, usually 6 to 8 hours, right? So the math works out in your favor when it comes to video games, I think. Is that what you're going for,
Pete? Yeah, well, and I'm just saying, I didn't even buy snacks. I didn't do anything else. You know, like a movie going experience, like a top movie going experience, can easily be like $40 a person sometimes, you know, or like, you know, when my dad goes to the movies. And stuff. It's me, my three younger siblings, my dad. It's like
buying.
It's almost like $100 sometimes. You know, if he gets snacks and stuff. And
when I take my wife and kids to the movies, like we'll go see that the new Pixar movie around Thanksgiving.
I can't wait.
And it's gonna cost us like $100 though, like to go
right for 2 hours. Not even a Pixar movie is gonna be so like an hour and 40 minutes and stuff, right? And it just like. I don't know if this is still just like in the infancy of because of how young the industry is and stuff that like, or if it's just that like in the end of it, gamers will always just be giant toddlers who don't.
That's possible.
There is a little bit of an entitlement thing going on, but it's just like, yeah, for the amount of hours you get out of any game, even the shortest games compared to films, I think is a pretty good deal.
Right.
But I think everyone just like wants everything for free out like nowadays. I don't know. Well, like, everyone's fucking pirating and
you hear a lot of, and maybe it's toned down a bit because I am actually seeing a lot of people kind of like, you know, voicing exactly what we're saying. Like, hey, give us that more concise experience. Like, tell us what you want to tell us. Give us a nice gameplay package in 6 to 8 hours or, you know, if you can do it in whatever, as long as like it feels like a full package and worthwhile. But there was a period of time over like the last decade where people were like, oh, if it's not 20 hours, like you're getting gypped. Like,
right. And you know, like I wonder to get a little slightly existential here, if the downfall of these like huge single player games like this has more to do with the fact that a lot of the industry has like a lot of people like players have grown up. They're adults now. They don't have nearly the amount of free time they have anymore. Right. And it's way easier for you, Chris, for example, to dedicate 5 hours a week to playing Destiny and still do something fun and cool and make progress as opposed to Shadow of War, which will take you 40 hours to reach the ending of.
Yeah. Like you go back to when I was like, you know, in high school or before that, like I had no problem sitting down and playing Final Fantasy VII for 70 hours or, you know, like any of that stuff. And now it's like a game like that's daunting. Like,
Right.
I did it for The Witcher, but it took me over a year to do it. Like,
right. And I just imagine a lot of people looking at games like Dishonored or like Prey and just being like, oh my God, they say it's like 30 hours and stuff. Shit. Like, I'm never going to have time for that, you know, like between a job and kids and all that stuff. Like, hell, I don't have any kids. I'm not married. I work like 30 hours a week and I barely have time to play video games right now. But you know?
On the flip side of that, the funny thing for me is like I probably had more responsibilities in high school than I do now. Now I go to a job, I come home, and I can do whatever fuck I want, but I still somehow don't have the time I had in high school to like.
You're in a relationship, Jeff, and you got other like important things. And sometimes, man, you're just fucking tired. You don't want to hold the controller.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want to come home and watch some shit on Netflix or you know, watch a shitty horror movie or something. Like,
I do a lot more of that than games sometimes.
And stuff, you know, and I just wonder if like at some point people will realize that like, you know, because game companies for whatever reason are still marketing to like 15 to 25 year olds, you know, like people who are still in high school, just like getting out of college and stuff. And like, who feel like they, for some reason, still have an infinite amount of time. It's like most of your consumer base is not that old anymore.
They're in their 30s, I would think.
And the funny thing is that the people they're targeting, like, or will be targeting soon, are like my son, right?
Right.
Like, he doesn't give a shit about this. He'd rather like jump on to Fortnite Battle Royale and play for an hour with his buddy, as opposed to like spending 40 hours in like whatever the new game is. Like, he's fine with playing a free to play game and asking me every couple weeks, hey, can I have $5? Because I want to buy something in my game, whatever he's playing at the time.
Yeah. There was like a couple months where my younger brother, Steven, he really liked the Uncharted games and he played a bunch of them on the PlayStation 3. But like lately, him and my sister and my brother have all been obsessed with like Minecraft, Terraria, Overwatch, like everyone, or like Injustice 2. They really like fighting games and stuff. Like every once in a while, my brother will jump into Skyrim because he likes just messing around and stuff. But like, I can't tell you the last time any of them sat down and was like, I want to enjoy this game with a really good story.
Right. Like, I'll catch my son, like, when I buy stuff, it'll automatically download on the Xbox he uses.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sometimes I'll catch him. Like, he'll play, like, an episode of Batman, the Telltale games or whatever. But very rarely do I see him, like, jumping in and playing these, like, you know, the games that we... the games that we value, like the games that like we're lamenting losing.
Yeah.
They're not the ones that he's playing.
Yeah. Step in, Chris, and like fucking go here. You need to play every game on this. That's classic right here.
Come down to the basement. You sit here until you're done.
Yeah. Nothing will drive a wedge between.
I want you to put every cartridge on this fucking wall.
Yeah. Right. I could like just open my cabinet up. All right. You're going to start over here. With the Nintendo games.
But Dad, I want to play Minecraft. Shut up, son. Minecraft wasn't released for another 30 years.
If you have five shelves, before you get the Minecraft. You're going to go through every single Game Boy Advance game I have. And
Jesus Christ. Yeah, and so I just think that, like, you know.
I would be that parent, by the way, just saying.
I have no doubt. You know, indie games will pick up the slack in some regard and stuff. You know, just like they picked up the slack in the horror genre and stuff.
They are, and
you know, games will. They may not be this amazing, you know, portrayal of realism and stuff where you can see the sweat formulate in this dude's face as you know he's, you know, swinging his sword or whatever. But you know, they'll still like. They can still tell really good stories and, you know, it'll just be like $20 and, you know, or you'll have like Ninja Theory doing $30 digital only stuff. And
that is something that I really hope returns is like the revival of like the B tier game.
Yeah.
Right. Like that $30 game that, you know, we don't get anymore. And it's like a really well done game, but it's not It's not top tier, but it's not like the budget title either.
Right. Well, and I feel like at some point we will see that when indie games hit what that like right now indie games are priced anywhere from $10 to $20. And at some point that's gonna have to change to $15 to $25 and then from like $20 to $30.
I think that the indie games are in that category now, though. Like, where some of them, like, look at The Witness. Like, that was a $40 game, but it was, like, kind of an indie game, and it was amazing. Like, I would put that up there with any... it was my game of the year last year, you know what I mean?
Right. But, I mean, or, Chris is saying, like, where is the dude making our Darksiders?
Right. And, like, where is that game at?
Here's another example. Friday the 13th, the game. I think, like... now that they've ironed it out a little bit, like that's kind of like that category that I'm thinking of, where it's like,
right, but that's a multiplayer AAA.
Yeah, but it has, like, dude, it has an amazing amount of detail for what it is, like for like the budget it had, like it's pretty impressive in ways.
And it, as soon as that they put the single player campaign in, I'm in. Yeah,
that's fair.
The single player campaign is just going to be bots, I think, right?
No, I think it's. Yeah. I think if it were, they could have just put that in immediately.
I think it might be, dude. Like, I don't think it'd be much more than that. It would be like scenarios, like, "Hey, do this. Hey, do that." Maybe. But it would just—it's the same, like gameplay you would get out of the multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, like ultimately, like this change is okay for me personally because looking at the games that I've played this year, I've played maybe 7 games this year so far, and. True single player games, like I played Persona, I played Horizon, I played Nier, you know, like I didn't really, you know, like I don't have the time and money to buy all of these games that come out, so like if it just slims out a little bit, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You
know?
I don't know what we talked a lot about, like both that and the loot boxes together. Obviously, Jeff is on team fuck loot boxes.
Like, and I'm a grumpy old man.
Look, I get that. Like, it's not,
dude. It's like, just the like, most
fun, but like,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just, I can't blame them for chasing the money. Like, they have no choice.
Well, right? Let's go the other way though. Mm. Loot boxes work because they're fun.
Right. People, like that's what I'm saying.
Gambling is fun. Let's not deny the fact that I can pay for this thing. I don't know what I'm going to get. What could it be? Oh, this is awesome. Like, there's an aspect of fun there. It costs money, yes, but it's fun.
I heard I've always kind of looked at them more like card packs than...
Yes.
Like, a lot of people are saying they're like slot machines, right? But...
But they're wrong because the legal definition of gambling includes a scenario in which you win nothing.
Right. Like, so for me, like putting my money into a slot machine, I may not get anything back, but like if I go, like when I was a kid, I used to buy like hockey cards and baseball cards. And like, sure, we all did at some point, like, or some sort of like collectible that came in a blind pack. Like it was sealed. We open it. We have no idea what the fuck we're getting.
Like Playboy, Jeff. Like Playboy.
Yeah, like Playboy.
I was thinking of the Flare Ultra Marvel cards. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or Pokemon cards.
Yes, right? Like Pokemon Magic cards, like anything like that. Where
baseball
it's,
cards.
Tops.
Baseball cards, yeah. Tops, it's, exactly.
To play devil's advocate, because I've heard this, your exact point, Chris, is people say that you can resell those. There's a secondary market for that stuff.
Physical.
But depending on the game, and maybe this is something that people will have to eventually come to some sort of understanding on, you know, if you have a game that works on the Steam Workshop, you can resell that stuff. You can resell your PUBG items, you can resell your Counter-Strike items, your Dota items, and stuff like that. And you can make, you know, tons of money, your TF2 items, you know, I mean, hell, you know, people were selling items in PUBG, like the rare Gamescom ones, for like $400.
And there's also the element of, like, when I go in and I buy a card, right, like, there's nothing behind the scenes computer-wise. Like, what I bought, like, a machine has put those cards into that pack, and I have pulled them, like, and I hope that that's maybe how the loot boxes work, right, is, like, that there's a computer program that is, like, putting a bunch of shit into a box, and you're buying it, and you're opening it, and that it's not like, okay, well, Chris got, you know, he got some shitty stuff the last three times he bought a box, but we'll get him one now so that, like, you know.
I have no doubt that it's, that that's exactly what happens.
So maybe there needs to be regulation in that regard. Like,
I mean, yes and no. Like, I mean,
well, you can't keep selling me shit. Like,
no, but I don't know. I'm thinking of like Overwatch, right? Like, what was it? I haven't bought any loot boxes since the summer event in like August or something like that.
Okay.
And the Halloween event's been going on and stuff, and I was playing with my brothers, and I got some loot boxes just from playing and stuff, and one had just like basic items. And then the next one I pulled was just legendary. Like, it had, like, sure, an amazing legendary item and stuff. And, you know, maybe it's company-dependent. I don't know how often that stuff is. You know, there's usually, like, predetermined odds, just like in a card, in a card box there are, where it's, like, it's one in every 56 packs will get you an amazing autograph from a famous baseball player. Sure. And, you know, I think, you know, in Overwatch, it's, like, one every 15 boxes is a guaranteed legendary. It might not be like the newest legendary, but it is a legendary.
And maybe those things need to be published, right? Like,
right. And I think,
we need to know what those odds are.
Yeah.
China, like, that's already working out in China and stuff like Overwatch, like Blizzard was, they had under Chinese law had to publish their
drop rates or whatever. Thank you.
Yes. And yeah, you know, we saw a couple weeks ago, the citizens of the UK put forth a petition to the government to have them like review, like how loot boxes fit into their definition of gambling and stuff like that. And things like that. And yeah, and I agree, just like online passes and things like that. Like, you know, the market will respond to shitty ways and they'll respond to ways that do it right. You know,
right. If a game does it right, like Overwatch, like, you know, Activision and Blizzard are going to make a shit ton of money off of it. But if EA does a shit job of implementing their loot boxes in Battlefront, they're going to suffer for that. Like they'll make money off of some players because there's always going to be that guy.
Not to be weird or whatever, but like, I guess what bothers me about all of it is it just like represents like a cheapening of the culture or whatever. Like, it's just like, it's the same way. It makes me feel the same way I feel like about how like our job economy is now, where it's like people have to be Uber drivers. Like, it's just like everything is shifting into this like horrible fucking shitty way of doing things instead of just making something good. And
the gig economy is awful, no doubt. But like, I don't know, the culture like of games has been cheapening since the PS2 era. Like, you know, like,
not in all, there's still games that come out today that are great. It's just,
no, I know. But if your idea of like, I don't know what your idea of what the pristine version of the culture was, but I'm making an assumption here that it was just when you got the game and everything was on the game and you paid once, you paid a price and you paid it once and you got the whole thing. And
essentially,
like,
yes.
Yeah. And like that exists to a degree with like indie games and stuff like that and certain other games, you know, like, but even games like Wolfenstein, like there's still DLC. There's still,
I like that games now have additional content that comes out for them. I'm not against that. What I'm against is like, it's built into the fiber of the game. Like,
and I think that's strictly because of the fact that like if you didn't want that, the trade-off is then you pay $90 for Wolfenstein. Like base price, like and that's what Chris and I were talking about earlier, is like the price of development has skyrocketed to the point where selling a game for $60 and never making any more money off of it will never pay for your game unless it's GTA 5, which has somehow sold 100 million copies and has also made billions of dollars on its online market. But
because
they sell their virtual currency.
Yeah, but there's
another market there.
Does right. Wolfenstein have like egregious like microtransaction shit built into it? Like, I don't even know that. I would not expect that in that game.
It doesn't. No. But I also
bet that if
it'll sell,
Bethesda's line, it will sell. But will it sell? Will it make the profit that, you know, Bethesda's really looking for?
Right. I think it will.
I maybe, you know, hopefully, because I really like that game. But at the same, my point with that is that you still will then have to spend $10 per pack on their additional DLC to technically get all of the content, right?
Sure.
Like, if you wanted all of that just in the game and stuff, like, you know, like, they couldn't just put that stuff in the game and still only charge $60 for it, because they need you to come back.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm just, I don't like when it's, like, when it's molding what the game is.
What was the game called? The New Order, right? That was the
first one. The New Colossus is the one that's coming out now. And that did have the old blood, right? That $30 like prequel thing that everyone actually hated.
No, I mean, the numbers I'm looking at aren't, like, I mean, they're not super accurate, but...
Right. And it's hard without digital and stuff.
Right, and they're generally in the ballpark, though. Maybe 3 million in physical copies they sold of that game.
It's not bad.
That's not actually pretty across good. All platforms?
That's
that would be across
everything except PC.
Right.
That includes 360 and PS3 release too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's not
actually worse than I thought. Yeah,
that's not bad.
No, but across four platforms, that's not even a million per platform.
I thought it would be more.
But also, I remember, like, PS3 and 360 were, they were a year removed from, like, PS4 and Xbox One were already out a year at that point, so.
I do think that they've had pretty strong marketing for this, and it's also releasing at a different time. I think it will have an uptick.
They certainly know how to capitalize on the current climate.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give them that much. Has anybody seen the 10-second Twitter ad where it's just BJ beating the shit out of Nazis, and it just almost plays like this subliminal ad where it just says "punch Nazis" over and over again? It's real good.
They've done several now. Like, they totally get what they're doing. Like,
yeah,
they're leaning into what it is, and like, I that's what I've always loved about those games, anyways, killing Nazis. So. Hell yeah, dude.
But like, I feel like also in the grand scheme of things, Wolfenstein may very well be the exception to the rule. Like, you know what we haven't heard about in quite some time? Is Tomb Raider. And, you know, like, that last game was, what, 2015?
So, just to give you an idea of where Bethesda's money is here,
mm-hmm.
Skyrim on PS4 and Xbox One physically outsold the copies of Wolfenstein on all four platforms.
It's Skyrim.
But it's a game that is
Years old, right?
Yeah, the five years old
Skyrim. Like,
exactly, but it's like that's where their money.
No, right, but I mean, like, what he's saying is that like re-release of a game
outsold
Wolfenstein, a new title that was on four single platforms.
Single player title that was on four different platforms. Like,
yeah.
And that's not to take it away. Like, I think Wolfenstein quite successful, and I'm sure Bethesda looks at it that way. That's why they invested in a second one, but like, that's also why they keep re-releasing fucking Skyrim on
everything. That's why it's coming to the Switch.
Because they'll sell more than they will of Wolfenstein.
Also, it's way easier for them to just code a new launcher and still rake in millions. But to Jeff's point, I agree that like when it's baked into the core of the game, like with Shadow of War, the market will respond to that. And I wouldn't be surprised if Shadow of War winds up selling pretty terribly.
I'm not buying it.
And stuff. I might buy it at some point when they release skins of the side characters that you can play as, just like they did for the first game, because I don't care about Talion whatsoever.
Tony, you like Shadow of
War. Yeah, no, I'm in for that game. I'll probably get it Black Friday.
Okay.
I like the first game a lot, and I wanted to play this game, but I don't have the time or money to put into it, and I want to wait for, like I said, maybe some player skin DLC. Or with NBA 2K18, players rioted and they recalibrated a bunch of that stuff. And, people are not afraid to make their opinions known. Now, whether they realize that, they're causing their own problems, who knows, The same people who are rioting against all of this, EA canceling this game and shuttering Visceral, which, by the way, everyone seems to forget is just a renaming of an EA-owned studio already. It wasn't third.
Like, yeah, there were a lot of people going, this is what EA does. They buy studios and then show down, like,
you dumb fucks.
It's an internal EA studio. Also, I don't think people understand how acquisitions with companies work. I understand that, like, you know, buying studios is a, you know, when they buy like a BioWare or whatever, you know, we look at it as like, oh, they're bringing them into the fold, but they're buying them for a reason. They're
right. They want their tech. They want their IP. They want, yeah. Yep.
They don't necessarily want them, and they BioWare stuck around, but like all the places, like my company has bought 27 companies in the last 4 years. Like,
right.
And like we have four of them that are still open. We just assimilate right. them into the company that I work for.
Yeah, again, with games, as usual, this just I think has to do with the youth of the industry and the infancy of the industry. Like yeah, when a movie company buys another production company, nobody like has a fucking heart attack over like, oh my god, you know, MGM is closing down because Sony bought them and they just wanted the Bond franchise or you know, right. whatever.
That would be why they buy them.
Exactly, right? Like, they're like, nobody cares about the MGM name. Like, it was cool, but, like, you know? And do you know how many people still buy games and have no idea what the label on the box means when it says BioWare on it? Like,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, people recognize Nintendo, but, you know, Nintendo also publishes their games and the system and the... and also and develops the games and stuff. Like there's their recognition is in several more places than just development, but
and like people know the brand that they're buying, right? So like people buy Call of Duty.
Right. They don't know Activision.
Yeah. And they don't even know maybe down to the like even down a step further, they don't really know who's developing it. They don't know if it's Treyarch or Infinity Ward or like there are a good amount that do.
Sure,
but we exist so in the echo chamber.
I would bet that there's more that don't know.
You know right,
yeah,
I mean?
Like, that game it sells too many copies. It's too
yeah,
and to you know it obviously copies. Expands beyond our bubble.
Yeah, that, I think that a lot of people are stuck in our bubble and they can't see out of it. Like to realize that there is a mass market out there that's not us. Like we are the exception. We are the super hardcore into games. We follow the news. We buy more games than we should. Like we play more games than we should.
So Pete keeps bringing up NBA 2K18.
Right.
This is a game that is kind of hated by the I would say the game journalist community because of what they've done with the VC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the NBA 2K community loves this game. They think it's awesome, and the game gets bad press, but the average gamer who's out playing this game doesn't care about all that stuff. It doesn't.
You sound like a Tony Hawk fan right now.
I'm trying real hard to hear Tony right now. I'm not gonna lie.
But well, I mean, like, nah.
Whoa,
Tony. No, I agree with what...
that wasn't me.
I agree with what Tony's saying, right? Like, it's like yes, like in our bubble, NBA 2K has a bad rap. And some of that has been voiced, and they've made whatever changes. But yeah, there's people that are outside that bubble, and like, yeah, it's fucking awesome. Like NBA 2K is great. Like,
yeah,
right. Like, and that's the thing. Again, like the market speaks to what the market wants, right? Like, right. Just like people vote with their wallets, and if somehow Blizzard is able to make, you know, Blizzard Activision makes almost $4 billion off this stuff, everybody sees that number and all of the investors saw that release and immediately called up the company that they're stockholders in and go, why aren't we doing exactly what they're doing?
Right.
And that, you know, this wouldn't be the case if, you know, Overwatch was a failure, for example.
Right.
Like if Overwatch like just crashed and burned, I have to imagine that we would be in a very different place right now. Like that was sort of
sure.
Loot boxes have been going on for a while, but Overwatch like took it to the next level in a way that I think nobody was able to necessarily prepare for last year.
All right, real quick before we close off on this, Pete, you said that Activision had a patent.
Oh yeah, it was to this? It was a. Yeah, real quick, yeah, before I get to that, I just want to say on the Star Wars thing, yes, it has to do with perhaps the change in markets, but as we started this topic off, this game had been in development for 4 years and somehow still wasn't released. Like, I don't think like, you know, Final Fantasy 15 was really the last game, I think, that we will see that's stuck in that kind of development hell. Maybe ever, because companies just aren't going to want to pour resources into a game over the course of 5-6 years and not see any return. You know?
And we have to remember that games like Final Fantasy 15 and The Last Guardian come out of a different business culture too.
Sure, with Japan.
Like those are Japanese games, like,
right? For sure. Yes. So yeah, this Activision thing. Yeah, it's basically just this like matchmaking technology that they had, where basically it is, you know, and I'll put this out in front, is that it was filed in 2015 and just approved now, just to show you how quickly the government runs on these types of things, and isn't implemented in any current Activision game right now. But it's basically an algorithm that works to put players who haven't bought anything and matches them alongside players who have based on their play styles. So, like, the example it uses is, like, let's say player A wants to be, like, he likes playing with snipers and shit, and he wants to be a really good sniper, so player A will be paired with player B, who's a really good sniper but has also bought stuff. And so he has, like, a really sick sniper rifle. And so the logic is that player A sees player B being a real good sniper with a weapon that he bought and may be possibly influenced to then buy said sniper rifle.
That is gross, but also brilliant.
Right, like, people think it's gross and stuff, but I'm surprised, honestly, that this hasn't been going on forever, like, in terms of how matchmaking works, like, you know, I feel like this doesn't necessarily happen it happens in Overwatch just by the nature of the game, right? Like, you get into a team with somebody, or a game with somebody, and you see in, like, the 30 seconds of waiting and stuff, all of the other players in their costumes, and you go, oh shit, that dude got, he has that character's legendary costume, and it is amazing, like, I want that costume. So when I'm done here, I'm going to spend $10 on loot boxes and try and get that costume. Like, I don't know. It sounds predatory, but I think it's, like, way less harmful. Like, what is that going to do? Like, if anything, it'll improve your experience because you're getting paired with people who are good at the game.
Right, and play like you do.
Right. And yeah, exactly. So like, if... Yeah, I don't know. Everyone was freaking out. It was, I don't know. Like, again, don't fucking buy this shit if you don't want it in your game. Like,
right.
Like, none of this stuff is all meaningless if all of the money in it dries up.
It's, I mean, real quick before we wrap up here, Forza 7 has, like, this, you know, they kind of changed the progression in that game. It's,
that was another one. Thank you. I meant to talk about that in terms of our.
It's very loot box driven. Yes. I had not played it. Don got it from Redbox or Gamefly. He got it from Gamefly, and he played it. And he's a huge Forza fan. And I was actually utilizing him as, like, if he liked it and was going to play it, I would probably pick it up. He did not like it, and he is not going to buy it, and he will not be putting money into the loot boxes, and, like, that's it. Like, he's voting with his money. Like, I don't like how you've put this into the system. I'm not going to buy it.
Right. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe by the time, you know, Forza 8 comes out, or maybe even Horizon 4 next year, like,
gets changed.
Yeah, maybe it gets changed. And, you know, like, it was rejected so steadily, but then at the same time, they have to find out a different way to make money, right? Right. Like, I don't think that, you know, ultimately this comes down to several factors, right? Development costs, development scale in relation to those costs, and the price of entry for consumers. Like, you know, like, somehow games have still not gone up in price, which is, a lot of people think is awesome, but it's probably caused more harm than good in the long run. And with the amount of indie games out there that are varied in price, like, I actually don't think it'd be such a bad idea if we jumped to $70 for huge AAA games and let things like Hollow Knight or Golf Story or Stardew Valley or The End Is Nigh or whatever, you know, I can endlessly name indie games that came out this year in various ways and stuff, and let them keep everybody else afloat. You know, yep. Like, I know that like $70 sounds scary, but so did $60. You know, and I think somehow with like all of these young people, they don't remember that NES games and SNES games and Genesis games cost like between $70 and $90, depending on.
Yep.
And the games were way shittier back then.
Yeah, like Donkey Kong Country was like $70 or $80. I think it was $80 for Donkey Kong Country. So.
Yeah, and they were variable, like, because not every game was, like, there was no set price, so it wasn't, they were all over the place, right? Like, you could get Donkey Kong Country for $80, Chrono Trigger was $100. Like,
yeah.
I think that used to be based on memory costs, I think.
Probably, like, the, you know, how much it cost to, you know, manufacture the cartridge, but.
Right.
Then, like, PlayStation came along and standardized the price at $40.
Well, CDs helped a lot, too. And stuff. And yeah, I mean, we're in like this weird tilting point, and I think a lot is going to change over the next, you know, the remainder of the year and all of next year. Like E3 will be super interesting, and just to see where stuff goes.
Yeah, you know, like how it progresses, how it's all going to shift.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone should freak out about single player games disappearing though.
It's
not gonna happen.
I don't think they're gonna go away entirely. I just don't think you're going to be seeing as many of them anymore. You're obviously not gonna be.
They've been saying this since like forever, since the internet came out.
Like, yeah, but now the industry is in a place where it's just not as lucrative. Like, you know, and I'm not saying that means that like they're all gonna go. Like, obviously, like Japan really loves their shit. You know, Persona, Nier, Final Fantasy. Yeah, Final Fantasy had, what, 6 months of, like, DLC and stuff, like these expansion episodes, these festivals, like, and...
That's fine.
And stuff. But my point is that, like, games can... Single-player games still need some way of making their money...
Of continuing a revenue stream for the company. Yeah,
so if you see these single player games continue, they might actually wind up being more like Shadow of War, where they have a loot driven system that requires you to pay in and stuff like that. Because $60, like buying in and then finishing the game in 10 to 12 hours and reselling it to used games, like doesn't accomplish anything for the companies anymore and stuff. Except for Sony, and maybe that's because you know they hail from Japan and stuff, you know, they'll be another Horizon. There'll be another Last of Us. There'll be Spider-Man. There will be maybe another Bloodborne. There's Death Stranding, whatever the hell that is.
I want another Katamari Damase.
He's doing something else that I haven't heard about in like 3 years. That Square game. Square's the name of the game, not the company. But
right. Things are changing. So
yeah.
Well, hopefully no companies get closed between now and next week.
Bioware's next.
What was that?
I said, I think, and I don't remember, maybe Hobby said this, that Bioware is next. And I think that hinges entirely on Anthem's success.
Yeah, also, like, I think people forget that they are still running probably one of the most successful MMOs out of that studio, so...
Right, yeah, Austin's still kicking ass.
Yeah, so, I mean, maybe they do shut him down, like, who the fuck knows.
But imagine, while this all may be real sad, imagine just how cool a Star Wars game, like a Destiny Star Wars game would look, and how fun that would be.
No, I, like, yes. Right? I still would like a, you know, an Uncharted type game.
Yeah.
Or... You know, even like another God of War type game, like The Force Unleashed, not Force Unleashed 2, the first one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would totally play a Destiny type.
You could be a bounty hunter, you could be a smuggler, you could be a pilot,
yep,
or a Jedi, or all sorts, and then you could go to the different planets. It would have space combat, because it needs to have space combat.
Sign me up.
And stuff, speeder racing and all the, you know, different vehicles and shit. Like, Star Wars is rife for so many different types of games. Like, ironically, Star Wars has, like, never really been able to find its footing with, like, Uncharted, like, single-player games. Even with, like, there were the Jedi Knight games and stuff, and those were popular for a little bit, but...
They were more Doom-ish type games, too, like...
Right.
Like, man, very... This is all a long time ago, at best.
Really. No, I know, but I mean, like, but even still, like, even back then, like, they weren't, like, you know, they tried. There was Bounty Hunter on the PS2 and stuff, and that was okay. Public Commando and stuff, even though that game is awesome. And
it is. Stuff. But, like, I mean, yeah. There are a ton of great Star Wars games, but yes, they do struggle with, you know, that type of third-person action game.
I also would like to see Return of, like, Rogue Squadron. That'd be
awesome.
Yeah.
Cool side note, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. We'll be back next week, though. pre craziness, because next Friday is the day.
Yeah.
Everything comes out, but we will talk about
it. All right, real quick, what exactly comes out then? It's Mario, it's Wolfenstein, it's Assassin's Creed, and there's a fourth one that I'm missing.
There is a fourth one.
There's a fourth one. It's not very important.
No, it is. I can't remember what it is.
Significantly less important than any of the
games. Yes, that's true, but it's still something.
It is in October. Let's see. Assassin's Creed, Super Mario, and Wolfenstein is what Wikipedia has listed on their list.
I thought there were four games.
There's probably
something else that's missing, but obviously it is not super big to the point that it is on there. Then a week later, Call of Duty is out.
Nothing matters after Mario, really. Honestly, let's be honest.
Xbox One X.
Yeah. Is that the third?
Lego Marvel Super Heroes.
It's the third or the seventh?
That's the seventh.
The seventh. Sonic Forces, Jeff.
I might buy it if the reviews are decent on it. I'm not against 3D Sonic.
Battlefront 2 is the 17th. That's a pretty big day too. That is Pokemon.
Yeah,
buddy. Battlefront 2, Sims 4.
I am getting Sims 4 Deluxe Party Edition.
It's Destiny 2 on PC.
Ah.
That's what it was.
Oh, that's the 24th.
Right. I think the last time I had this discussion with somebody, we got it mixed up then too. So
the 17th is a pretty big day. And Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is like towards the end of the year, but that's another pretty big title for the Switch, so.
Yeah. And then hey, we still got a couple like places where announcements are gonna happen too. I mean, PSX and then VGAs and stuff.
Did Paris Game Show happen?
No, I think that's Paris Games Week is in October, right?
So maybe next week. So we may have some stuff there. Then PSX is going to happen, the game show. So yeah, we got stuff coming out. Like there's
November 1st through the 5th is Paris Games Week.
We're going to have a crazy like 6 weeks before we start doing our Game of the Year stuff. So
Jesus Christ,
right?
Yeah. At some point, I need to get a Switch just so I can play
Zelda.
At least touch Zelda and Mario, and Mario. They're going to be obviously big contenders. So.
Yeah. They're going to be talked about.
For sure.
Oh, I think Mario will be talked about.
I'd rather talk about that one.
Don't start.
All right. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.